Bibles, turn over to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Try to cover a lot of scripture this morning, and got a few things here I just want to get us to thinking about before we really actually get into the lesson. I was going out on the bus route, and I was going down the road, and When we were looking for a pastor to come here, and different people came and applied, and I had not yet come back into the church. I had not yet joined the church again, and we was praying and asking God to show us what to do. And a mere fellow by the name of Preacher White stood in the pulpit one day, and he made a statement. Why do we do what we do as Baptists? And I know he was looking at some doctrinal things. Why do we follow the Lord in believers baptism? Why do we stand on this King James Bible? Why do we stand on this King James Bible? Why do we keep supporting the Sunday school classes that we do. We're not following after a lot of other churches today to put aside our Sunday schools and do different things, you know what I mean? I'm not saying that that's altogether wrong, but why are we sticking by? Why are we trying to stick by the stuff? Why are we trying to maintain what we call old-time religion? I think it's all new time religion, to be honest with you, because he makes all things new. Every day he makes all things new.
Amen.
And we need to know why we are sticking by the stuff. And as I was going out on the bus route today, and I got, these are personal questions. This ain't got nothing to do about doctrine. These are personal questions. The things you do that you believe are for God, why do you do them? Why do you do them? Is it because of your love for God? Or could it be, it's like the preacher mentioned this past week, is a fear of religion, the brethren? Is it, what the people here in the church might think of us? Is it pride? Why do we do whatever it is that we do? And that's what the Lord put to me. I was going out on the bus right this morning. Why you run these buses? Is it your love for me and these people out here? Why are you doing it? We need to take that examination often while we're doing what we're doing. We're sowing.
Amen.
Everything we're doing is sowing. We're sowing in things.
Yes, sir.
We're sowing it into people. We're sowing it into family. We're sowing it into our church. We often talk about the mess our nation is. Hey, guess what? Wait a minute. You think about it. A nation is made up of what?
People.
Men. Women. Us. We make up this nation. If the nation's in trouble, the nation's having a problem, who do we need to look to for the answers? Huh?
Christ.
Yeah, we need to look to Christ. And Christ is going to look to us. This is a mirror. Amen? This will show us.
I know that God Almighty could supernaturally make all the changes. He could eradicate this world just by His Word, just by thought. But He's left a body. He's chosen a body. God's going to do in this world, he's going to do it through that body that he has purchased. And we have no excuse. None. We can blame it on the world. We can blame it on God. We can blame it on whatever. The condition of the church. But it all boils down to me. I know without Christ I can do nothing, but I also know that Jesus says plainly through me, I can do all things. Now what is these all things? It's all things that God has chosen for you to do.
Amen.
He didn't choose you to do the things that I'm supposed to do. He chooses you to do the things that you're supposed to do. And me to do the things that I'm supposed to do. That he might accomplish his will in this world. Just a little something to think about. Now look over here in Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering himself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. In myself, I'm nothing, but in Christ Jesus, I'm a world changer. I can change the world right where I'm at. Every time I'm yielded to God, God is taking, he's captured a principality, because that's what you are. And you can take and sow into this world what God is sowing into you. Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man must bear his own burden. That's what I'm trying to say here. We all got our place and our purpose. We just better make sure that while we're doing what we're doing. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For if he soweth to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Take your Bibles and turn over to the book of John, chapter 15. Sowing. How are we going to make a fight in this world? How are we going to stand in this world? We ought to look at what we're doing and why we're doing it and how we're doing it. Are we doing it in the flesh? Are we doing it in the spirit? Man, there's a lot of operations going on in the church this morning. A lot of it, probably the majority of it, is just going to be flesh, 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 flesh. Why is all this stuff happened? It's happened in the churches over the past 50 years that I can remember, Brother Rick. Sin just spewing out of the churches. Shame, reproach, mockery against assemblies of God because of why? Flesh. Sowing. In the flesh. Reaping now to the flesh. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm trying to save me and my family. I don't want to be destroyed in this mess. God's been, I don't know how, if God's working in your heart, but in the last while, God's really been working in my heart, Brother Rick, about some things. Preacher asked that, brought that to us the other week. He said, go back and do the old works, the first works. Restore that love of God you have. Go back and do them first works.
Amen.
I took that seriously. thinking about the, some of the things I first did when I first got saved.
Yes, sir.
One of them was I, Brother Rick, I loved that Bible to the point I just wanted to pour over it all the time.
Amen.
Get away from the evening news and stuff like that and get into some real news. Because that stuff ain't, most of it ain't true anyway. No. It's half truths.
Right.
And a half a truth ain't nothing but a lie. We know who the God of this world is and what he's trying to do. Look at this. He said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, John 15. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. I want you to notice one thing that was said in there. Every branch in me. Don't look over them little words.
Come on.
Brother Rick, he said, in me. Mm-hmm. We know what an in me is,
yes,
don't we?
Yes, sir.
If we're in Christ, we're his.
Amen.
There's a consequence to any believer who sows off to his flesh.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He'll suffer loss. You find his works have burned. He's a branch that's cast into the fire.
Yes, sir.
Saved only as by fire.
Yes, sir.
I often wondered when that fire falls, when I see him face to face. And the Bible said when I see him out of years, I'm going to be like him. Well, he's going to have to do some changes in me, I'm going to tell you that, for me to be like him. There's going to have to be some things that will have to be done away. There's going to be some burning. And boy, I've often wondered when it gets done and the ashes is blown away. Hey, man, what would it be any gold left? Depends on why we're doing what we're doing.
Yes, sir.
And how we're doing what we're doing.
Amen.
I can, man. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Oh, you can get up there and you talk, boy, that was a powerful meeting. That was some powerful preaching. I'm going to tell you something. I've heard heathens do some powerful preaching. I'm trying to think of that old guy, Nation of Islam guy. You remember who I'm talking about? You tell me that guy can't sermonize. Tell me he can't stir you. You listen to him, he's stirred, buddy. He's a motivator. Powerful. He has a spirit. A powerful spirit. But it's not the true spirit. How are we going to weigh that? We're going to weigh it by the Word of God. One for that. Jesus said, "Boy, things are going to get so bad if it
yes,
were
sir.
Possible, the very elect would
yes,
be deceived."
Come on. Yes, sir.
If we don't stay in this book, I mean, really stay in this book and get serious about this thing, get serious about our families, get broken about this situation, get on our hands and knees and start shedding some tears and really crying out to God, saying, "I can't do it without you. I can't do it without you." Then this whole mess is going to come collapsing down all around us.
Yes, amen.
It won't be them five churches only in Salisbury to be doing without one.
Come on.
God could take our pastor tomorrow. He could have a heart attack and die today. And we can't take these things for granted.
Mm-mm.
We need to examine ourselves and say why, where, when are we doing what we're doing? How are we doing? Jesus said, "Ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him the same, bringeth forth much fruit." Now there's two kinds of people there. As one is sowing to the flesh, and he's going to end up being burnt. And another guy right there, he's sowing to the Spirit. He bringeth forth much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. And gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. Now, I don't know about you. I believe when a man's in Christ, that's forever. But there's a thing about abiding. You can be in him, but not abiding. You can be in him, but your mind is in this world. You can be in him, but you're everything but in line with him.
how many people we've seen saved over years, and we know that they were saved. We knew it. The Spirit bore witness with us. We knew that they were saved. They knew things only saved people can know. But we've seen them, they didn't abide. They've been moved away, and we've seen a lot of them, lives and families wrecked. When's the last time you looked at your own family and seen things that broke your heart? And ask God, is there something I can do to make a difference? Is there something? God, I'm not expecting the world to make a difference. I'm counting on you. But I'm also, hey, I'm your body. Take and use me to help make a difference. Maybe I messed up when they were young. Maybe they saw some hypocrisy in me. Maybe I wasn't what I ought to be to them. Maybe I hurt them. Maybe I wounded them and I don't even know. Have you ever talked to them about it? Have you ever talked to them about it? Have you ever asked them, is everything all right between me and you? Because I want everything to be all right.
Yes, sir.
Brother Rick, I want everything to be all right between me and you. I want everything to be all right between me and any person that's in this church. You got a problem with me, come talk to me about it. I'll try to make it right. That's the way I want to be with my family. I'm serious about this. I hope you know that. I'm serious about what is going through my heart and mind.
Amen.
I don't think this is a day blessing, Brother Rick. I really don't. I think God's trying to do something for me. I want him to do something for all of us.
Hey.
I thought about two different characters. Take your Bible, turn back over where the preacher was teaching this past week in John. I don't even know if I can remember. Yeah, right here, chapter 9. John chapter 9. I'm not trying to rob anything he said. I'm trying to take something. What?
Okay, thank you,
Bob. It's not all over my sleeve. Look at this. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and the disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents? He was born blind. Like you said, he could have preached an hour for this. Look at it. Who wasn't born blind?
Yeah.
Who wasn't born blind?
Amen.
The disciples were blind right there. And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. And he, of course, as the preacher made, he wasn't saying that they were sinless. He was simply saying they didn't have nothing to do with the fact that he was blind or sinned. He said, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Praise God. Now I want you to notice that manifest in him. Not manifesting what I'm getting ready to do. Are you following what I'm saying? We're going to look and see what this man, how God's works are manifested in him. It says right here that he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And brothers, I think that day ain't that far off, I don't believe. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, said him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation. I like that word right there. Sent. Is anybody in this room that God has not sent?
Not a one.
Are we being obedient? And are we doing it for the right reasons if we are going? If we do recognize we're being sent, and as we take forth what God has given and done for us, why are we doing it? Look at this guy. He obeyed God. Preacher made, you know, he made mention of this. I want you to look at this progress. And he talked about salvation. I watched something this past week. It gave me some, reminded me of things I already knew in my heart. But it's just always good when you hear something, especially if it's in a camp that's different than what you've been, you know, in. You know, to hear them make say the same thing, you know, and know that this is of God. For by grace are ye saved. Through faith. And that not of yourselves.
Amen.
Look at Calvary. You want to see what that's talking about? That's talking about Calvary. The faith of the Son of God. His acknowledging that if he's obedient to God and goes to the cross, will save our soul. He purchased salvation ever for every man. It's there. You can't save yourself by praying a prayer. You save yourselves by receiving a Savior. He that believeth the Son, he that believeth the Son shall not be condemned. He that believeth the Son. Jesus said he died for me, Brother Rick. He said he saved me on that cross.
Amen.
I believe him. I accept that. I accept him.
Yes, sir.
That's all I got. You know what? It's enough.
Yeah. All you need.
It's more real than standing in this room. They told me I was born here in Salisbury, up there, in that hospital up there, Rowan Memorial, back with Rowan Memorial Hospital. I was born over 8/4/56. I don't know what time it was. But I'm going to tell you something. You know, I don't remember a thing about that, Brother Rick. 1984. Jesus came along. Touched me. I want to go back and do them first works. I want to return to that first love. I was grateful. He showed me some things that day. And I'm going to tell you, I wasn't trying to escape hell, Brother Rick. I wasn't. I know a lot of people, a lot of you came to the Lord. That's what you're doing. You're trying to escape hell. And I'm not putting you down. I'm not saying that's the wrong reason or whatever. There's a lot of reasons why people come to Christ. But what the main reason is, you know you need him and you want him. That's what it got to come down to.
Amen.
You're just trying to buy fire insurance. I wonder. Everybody wants to escape hell. But how many people want Jesus? I saw I was wrong. He showed me the way I was living was going to destroy my children.
Amen.
That's what was in my heart that day. And it still is. What I do or don't do is, there's children out there. I'm talking about grown children. Some of them are old people. But they're children.
Amen.
God loves them. Died for them. Why do I go? Why do I go out to the nursing home? Or why do I go out on the street? Why do I knock a door, pass out a tract? Why? Because the love of Christ compels Or is it to like a notch, put another notch on my gun, I got another profession? Faith. Oh, the vanity. Anyway. So he obeys, he goes, and the neighbors, therefore, they which before had seen him, that he was blind, he said, is this not he that sat and begged? And some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. He confessed. He said, I was the blind man. You ever confess that you were blind? Some said, therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? And he answered, a man that is called Jesus makes clay, anointed mine eye. What did he do? He ascribed the glory to another man. And said, me go wash in the pool of Siloam. And I washed and I received sight. They said unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to him, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore, said of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Another said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Ain't it amazing that the priests work all day on the Sabbath? Ministering. And yet, they couldn't see the minister of all ministers that just stood and ministered to somebody and made them whole. And he said, They say he's not of God. And he says, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? There was a division among them. Some of them Pharisees said, no, that don't make sense. We know that sinners can't do that. I'm glad some of them at least listen to their own teaching, you know. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? That he said he's a prophet. He's witnessing. Remember what we just read over there? If any branch in me abideth, you bear fruit. Then what he said, God said, he'll purge that branch that might do what? Bear more fruit. They're not liking this. They're putting pressure on him. The fire's coming out of him. The Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, so they called for the parents that had received his sight and asked them, saying, is this your son whom you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered him and said, we know that this is our son, he was born blind. But by what means he seeth, we know not. For who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. And these words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already, if any man did confess him, he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Now look here. His parents, like the preacher brought out, they weren't rejoicing. They were afraid. And did they stand with him? No. They got behind him. Did they get behind him to help him? No. They stood behind him so that the things that they were throwing at him wouldn't hit them. Therefore, said his parents, he's of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, said to him, give God the praise. We know this man is a sinner. He answered, said to him, whether he is a sinner or no. Well, he knew every man was a sinner. But he didn't know if he was a sinner or not. But, I mean, that's a logical answer. He didn't know who he was yet. All he knew is he was of God. He didn't have that settled in his mind. He was of God, whether he was a sinner or not. And he said, I know not one thing I know, that where I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he do to thee? He knew what God had done for him. You remember? Go back and remember what God done for you. He answered them, I have told you already. You did not hear. Wherefore, would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? He'd already decided he was one. And they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake through Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And the man answered, look at him. More and more fruit. God's given him more and more light, more and more courage, more and more grace. Why, herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he has opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. If any man be a worshiper of God, doeth his will, him he heareth. And since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. You know what Jesus said? He said, of myself, I can do nothing.
Amen.
Only what the Father tells me to do. Look at the light this man's got. Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? Oh, yeah, you was born blind, you old sinner, you wicked sinner. And Jesus heard what they had cast him out. When he found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered, said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus got his attention, amen. Jesus, he desires more of what God has already done for him. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and is he that talketh with thee. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus, next time some old Jehovah's Witness coming up to your door, take him over that door. You worship only God. They say Jesus is not God. Oh, I'm sure their little book has got done took that out. But the truth, God's word has the power, not their little green book. That thing ain't got no power to redeem or heal. But this Bible has the power. And Jesus said, for judgment, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which with him heard these words, they said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. You know what he told them? Yeah, you blind. We're all blind. I want you to remember a fellow by the name of Saul of Tarsus. Threatenings. Held to clothes while they murdered Stephen. And was consenting unto that murder. And boy, and after they killed him, and boy, he continued threatenings and went out to destroy the church. And after on the road to Damascus, Jesus Christ struck him down. Bright light. He said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, who art thou? He said, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. He said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks.
Amen.
Yeah, you kick them old prick. I was out walking today. I had a briar come through my shoe. Mm-hmm. Huh? You imagine walking up kicking a cactus barefoot? Or wearing sandals? He was in pain. Paul was in pain. He was in misery. Why do you think he was so angry? He got him right where he needed. I think he could still hear. I think he could still hear them stones thudding against the old dead body of Stephen, and the screams of the women and the cries as they come and arrested them and beat them, murdered many of them. He heard them real loud on that day when he realized that Jesus was the Lord. He told him to go to a street called Straight. That's just a coinky-dinky, right? There were two ways there, you know, where two ways met. Street called Straight. He said he's going to send somebody there to talk to him. And then the light disappeared, and the people, the men that was with him, heard a voice but saw no man. And guess who didn't see anything anymore? Paul was blind. Jesus said, "I've come that they that are blind might see." He got him blind. He goes, "Oh, I can see. This is wicked. This is wrong. This is of the devil. This is false. They're trying to destroy the religion of the Jews. We got to destroy them." And now he's blind. We know how then he went, and Ananias, heard a fellow one time, he was preaching, and boy, he was getting Peter down the road. He kept talking about this Simon fella that was in the Bible, talking about how, look at how Peter is doing this. Where's the wrong Simon? It's a funny thing. Oh, well, Ananias is going to tell him, you know, about the things of Jesus, and they done buried him, right? Be careful. People grab up stuff and just run crazy with it, don't they, Brother Rick? Mm-hmm. I sat there and just bit my tongue all through that service. Man, just preaching it over. Just jumping all over Peter. And it wasn't Peter that the Bible was even talking about. I bit my tongue. I said, "Oh, God. That's what's coming out of our school."
Yes, sir.
That's what we've been sowing. That's what we're reaping. I ain't going to get into the flesh end of it. We seen a man, he was sowing to the flesh, and he was of the flesh, reaping corruption, death all around him. But God blinded him. We saw a man who was born blind, and we see him sowing righteousness. Making testimony, sowing to the Spirit, speaking out for the Lord, making a difference in him growing in grace and in knowledge and the fruit of the Spirit of God. We want to have love like we ought to. Sow love. You want to have joy? Sow joy. How do you do that? Rejoice in the Lord. I mean, this past week, I don't like to point things out. This past week, man, it was like they have in college, what do you call that? Hell week? That's what I was having at work this past week. I mean, it was awful. And I know why it was happening, Brother Rick. But I done made a decision on some things, and I had to get tested. Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered.
Yes, sir.
You want to get more like Jesus? Do you really?
Just thank God for the suffering he's going to send you. Because that's the only way. Paul said, I might know him halfway through his ministry. He said, then I might know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Taketh your cross. Follow me, Jesus said.
Amen.
All who live God in Christ Jesus, what?
Maybe.
They're going to suffer anything. They might. Huh? No.